and the children of Israel, Exodus chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. And we are still talking about the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. I know some people are mad at me. They have taken offense that I would talk about this uncomfortable subject. But you did not call me to preach. Lighting is off. And so God called me. And when God calls spiritual leaders, servant leaders, fix that perfectly. And he calls them oftentimes to not only remind the saints of what they ought to be doing, but to bring up things that the saints have become comfortable with to the point of not even realizing it is sin that they're doing. And so oftentimes the prophet of God, the man of God, if you will, has to point out things that people do not even see as sin and evil. Because generations change out, things are not passed on, and the generation present is suffering because our saintly ancestors did not pass on certain things because they got engrossed and caught up in sin themselves and started, in this case, overeating, and little by little they started to use euphemisms and make excuse for their sin and not pass on to us what we needed to know about certain sins. Yet they are still offensive to God. And so, by the grace of God, we have to bring up old things that have been forgotten, and they seem new to some people, many people, and people get offended, and they begin to hate the prophet because the prophet is bringing up something that has been accepted. And that's why we're talking about the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. I have been guilty of it, and apparently thousands upon thousands in our churches have been guilty of it for generations. So let's look at the Word of God, Exodus 16, verses 3 through 5. And if you stick with me and stop running away from your sin and your problem and face up to it and deal with it, stop getting mad because I called you obese, and you know you are. I didn't call you obese. I called you obese, and you can't stand that word. You hate for people to use that word, but you are obese. Many on our praise teams are obese, and many in the pulpit are obese. Many in the choir box are obese, and it should not be so. And we're obese because we're gluttons. We're gluttons. We commit the sin of gluttony. We don't use the word in moderation with food. We use the word with moderation in everything else but food. And so, read with me now, Exodus 16. Those of you who know, people who are mad because of the things I have told you and said to you, and preach to you in this little homily. Go ahead and tell them they can really be helped if they stick with me. We're going to be doing some great things once you get an understanding of the problem and you own the problem. Verse 3 says in Exodus 16, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." They would have rather died in slavery than to be free and struggle a little bit and not have what they're used to having. What is that? When we sat by the flesh pots, you know what the flesh pots are. They have beef in them. They have, and oftentimes slave food, they have pork in them. And you know that there's no, we shouldn't eat pork, but there's no better tasting meat than a good pork roast. I recall when I was pastoring a little church many years ago that I founded, and we got a church member who owned a restaurant down the hill from the church. She was obese herself, but she was a good cook, and for a while she was a good church member. But I was a much younger man. I don't know if I really knew what kind of meat it was, but she would always have this little pork steak kind of thing. Man, it'll make your tongue slap your brain out your head. It was so good. I used to love it. I got it all the time. We shouldn't eat pork, but it tastes good. You know it does. I had a preacher friend. He's now home with the Lord. Pastor Big Al Foster out of Chicago. When he really wanted to eat, when we were single, out there preaching the gospel and visiting churches, and I was going to Baptist University of America at the time, and he was going through some difficulties in his family, but we hung together. When he really wanted to get down and eat something besides church's chicken, man, he would get some pork chops, thick pork chops, and his mother had taught him how to fry them up. Man, I'm telling you, man, good eating. I didn't know any better back then. The flesh pots. If you got a little money, you can get your little steak in that flesh pot. If nothing else, you can get some chicken legs and some thighs in the flesh pot. They were ready to die. They would have rather died in slavery than to do without those flesh pots. That's the power of the little G God of food upon people. So we're not the first ones. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have, you know, there's nothing. When my children, they love, when they really want a good breakfast, a big breakfast, they or a dinner. My daughter Danita specialized in biscuits. They always want some biscuits. Some biscuits with butter. And they had biscuits yesterday. They asked me, did I want any? I said, I would like to have some, but I can't do that. And I went into the kitchen, and lo and behold, my two oldest daughters here, they had put butter all over the top of the biscuits, just dripping off, like they're putting icing on the biscuit or something. I saw the butter. I said, wait a minute, now this is a smart butter. It's not even for you all. So they love their bread, don't we? We love our bread. They loved it too. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They accused Moses of mass murder. Then said the Lord unto, or attempted murder, because they were still talking. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. See, we, as some of us as Christians, we want to help God, and the reason why we want to help God is because we want to do Christianity our way. We want what we want when we want it. We don't want to depend on God's provision. We don't want any wafers from heaven. We want the flesh pots. That, by the way, are not good for us. What God sends you is good for you and designed for you. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily, because of the Sabbath and so forth. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and most of all, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we confess our sins of gluttony. Help us by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to repent. Lord, I don't know of many sins, diseases, if any, that make people fat. I do know of some that make people very skinny, and definitely so, and such as cancer and so on. But Lord, you know all about these diseases, and so we're not talking to people who have a disease that causes them to be overweight. We're talking to people in your church who know that if they stop eating, and stop eating so much beyond what we need, that we could lose the weight very easily over time without getting an operation, without getting our fat freezed off, as some are saying, or wrapped off or whatever. But we put it on naturally. We didn't put it on with any help, so we ought not to get it off with any help other than stop eating and stop eating so much. And so, Holy Father God, help us to repent. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to take heed to your holy word, because this is a matter of testimony. There are many people, increasingly many people in the world today, who do not want to hear from Christians, so-called disciples, who have no discipline. And they see it as that. They have to keep their weight. People who are news readers, they have to sign a contract that they can't go over a certain weight. They have to stay in shape. They have to go to the gym. They have to control themselves. And we as Christians ought to be the best at it. And as we look across the landscape of the church, too many of us are fat, are obese, because we are gluttons. We're committing the sin of gluttony. And we pray that you would help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked sin and humble ourselves before you, acknowledge our sin, stop taking ourselves so seriously, stop getting offended, and confess it as sin and repent. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony of Optina, an 18th century Orthodox Church elder, said, of course it would be easier to get to paradise with a full stomach, all snuggled up in a soft feather bed. But what is required is to carry one's cross along the way, for the kingdom of God is not attained by enduring one or two troubles, but many. As the word of God states, we must enter into the kingdom of God with much tribulation. According to a study published in the journal Neurology, Johns Hopkins researchers surveyed nearly 4,000 people to find that the higher their body mass index, in other words, how obese they are, the greater their chances were of having episodic migraines. Those who were obese were 81% more likely to experience at least 14 migraine headaches each month, compared to people who were a healthy weight. Obese women over the age of 50 suffered from chronic headaches the most. So stop chewing on all of those aspirins and excedrins and lose weight, is the message. We got some women who are drug addicts. I have some in my family who are interested in taking pills. They got hidden drawers of pills. They think pills will solve everything. But too many pills will kill you. You'll wake up dead one day. I have a headache. A pill. I have this. A pill. I have that. A pill. The lighting is off on this somewhere. Fix that. This is an uncomfortable subject for many of us, but if you listen and take heed, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. Oh, I know we're in that season where gluttons such as myself, we love it. We love from January the 1st all the way through January the 10th. We just love it. I've loved it for many, many years. Just love it. I love the atmosphere that food produces. Good food. But this year, by the grace of God, we're going to hit it head on. We're not going to wait. Listen to me carefully. We're not going to wait till January the 10th to say, okay, well, I'm going to go on my annual Daniel fast and so forth. See, some of us have gotten to a point and an age that the Daniel fast, we need to be fasting for that, doing that fast for really spiritual reasons, but some of us have gotten to the point and in our health and in age-wise, that even a 40-day Daniel fast will not help you. Some of us, ladies and gentlemen, simply need to stop eating altogether. Oh, you say, preacher, oh, I have diabetes. I can't do that, preacher. Well, check with your doctor and do it. You got enough fat on your body to be consumed away. That's how you lose weight, not by these little tricks and little surgery and little freezing of fat. That's why you do that, and then your body looks terrible, looks weird. I'm sure you've seen pictures of people who have done these little tricks, these little quick little things, and then they got to go to plastic surgery to carve off the stuff that didn't disappear naturally. You put it on naturally. You didn't have any surgery, any doctors to help you put it on. Don't get a doctor to help you get it off. It'll go away naturally. But let me just tell you this, if you listen to what I'm telling you and you follow what I tell you, by the grace of God, you're not going to lose all of your weight that you need to lose by Thanksgiving, but you will be feeling better and you'll be looking better if you listen to what I'm telling you. I said by Thanksgiving. You say, preacher, are you telling me we can't eat Thanksgiving? Yeah, you can eat, but you can't eat as much, and you will not want to if you do what I'm telling you. We have a strategy to help you. And we're not talking about a diet. We're talking about life change. Now, beloved, as we have seen, the children of Israel, though freed from slavery, were not content to go through the wilderness without the foods they had grown used to having in slavery. And that's where many of us are. We are free. In fact, when you got saved, God spoke to your heart about even changing your diet. Most of us, God spoke to our hearts. It wasn't until I got saved that I started going to health food stores. And my whole life changed. My whole skin cleared up and everything because God speaking to my heart about health issues and eating right. See, the Holy Spirit of God in you will guide you, and I believe some of you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit of God will tell you, no, you really don't need to take that medicine. Here's what you need to do right here. Just drink you some apple cider vinegar, and that'll clear that up. Stop taking Tums and the indigestion medicine and so forth, and just stop eating badly. We must go through the wilderness of learning, if you will, how to eat in a manner that is self-disciplined and sufficient for our bodies. And we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God is your best friend in this, if you're born again, if you're saved, in this matter of seeing this stronghold, this, yea, stranglehold that we have on our lives in connection to food. Simply because we desire something that tastes good to us does not mean it is good for us. Simply because your girlfriend, who is a size 4, can eat it does not mean you can. We must trust that by changing our mentality about food, we can overcome the sin, the stranglehold, and the stronghold of gluttony in our lives and move into the promised land of health and feeling good, not having migraine headaches, not being in a situation where if you do tie your shoes, if you can bend over to tie your shoes, you don't come up winded like you just got through running a mile or two. Where we have a healthy appreciation for food as God's provision for us as long and long life as God sees fit. So, beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live next time, by the grace of God, along with other things, we will look at the Lord's response to the complaining of his people. But before I leave you, allow me to give you a couple of practical points. Practical step number one for today is in the Rave diet and lifestyle. Mike Anderson continues sharing why he recommends refraining from eating animal foods. He writes, the role of animal protein with respect to cancer deserves discussion. In the 1960s, researchers in India thought by increasing animal protein, it would actually help cure cancer. What they found was just the opposite. In 100% of the cases, increasing the consumption of animal protein, that is meat and eggs and all of that, caused cancer. I want to introduce you to something relatively new today. So I'm through with that. Eating meat and animal products causes cancer. But I want to introduce you to something new today. And ladies and gentlemen, it's relatively new. Some people have been practicing it for a little while. But here's the deal. For most of us who are obese, not only do we need to eat less and eat the right kinds of foods, that's good. But some of us, to break this stranglehold and this stronghold in our lives, need to stop eating altogether. You say, preacher, perish the thought. I'm not perishing anything. Some of us, to break this stranglehold of gluttony in our lives, as long as we're eating anything, we're going to be in constant danger of eating everything. And in order to break this stranglehold and this stronghold of gluttony in our lives, we must stop eating altogether for a while. And then listen to me very carefully, live a lifestyle of fasting for the rest of our lives, fasting and eating periodically and with great discipline on what we eat. This does not mean starving yourself, but and I'm going to give you even more information than I'm going to give you today. But if you want to end diabetes in your life, this is the way to do it. They call it intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting, or IF, is currently one of the world's most popular health and fitness trends. You can check with your doctor before you do this. I would encourage you to do that. I have to do that to protect myself from you suing me, saying, well, you told me to fast. No, I'm not going to be responsible for anything. So I'm telling you, check with your doctor before you do it. And, you know, he tells you contrary, then you go ahead and stay fat if you want to. But I'm telling you, some of us need to stop eating altogether for a while. Now, by the grace of God, I've gone on many 40-day fasts, 21-day fasts, 14-day fasts, 7-day fasts, 1-day fasts, down through the years. And I didn't understand about certain things regarding food and how that works, or IF or anything else. After I came off the fast, I eased into it, but I went right back to eating how I used to my comfort level, if you will. People are using IF, or intermittent fasting, to lose weight, improve health, and simplify their healthy lifestyle. See, fasting will simplify a whole lot about the eating situation. Once you get into it, it's not a diet. It will simplify not only losing weight but keeping it off. Many studies show that it can have powerful effects on your body and brain, and we all know who have fasted for spiritual reasons. We all know the benefits of it. Our face clears up. It's brighter. Eyes are brighter. We are more energetic once we get past the initial days. Many, many benefits from fasting. And many believe that fasting will help you live long if you do it right. We're not talking about starvation. We're not talking about people who are getting involved in diets or a lifestyle that harms them. And so many believe that fasting properly, intermittent fasting, keyword, will help us to live longer. So what is intermittent fasting? IF. Intermittent fasting is a term for an eating pattern that cycles between periods of fasting and eating. It does not say anything about which foods you should eat. Of course, we should eat the right foods, but rather when you should eat them. In this respect, it is not a diet in the conventional sense. It is more accurately described as an eating pattern or lifestyle. Common intermittent fasting methods involve daily 16-hour fasts or fasting for 24 hours twice a week. Humans have actually been fasting throughout time. Sometimes it was done because food was not available, and it has also been a part of major religions, of course, Christianity being number one. When you think about it, our hunter-gatherer ancestors didn't have supermarkets and refrigerators like we do. Think about that. Or food available like we do year-round. That's a problem. And that's one of the contributing factors to us being gluttons. The availability of food. Sometimes we couldn't find anything to eat, and our bodies are able to function without food for extended periods of time. If anything, fasting from time to time is more natural than constantly, watch this, constantly eating 3 to 4 or more meals per day. By the way, this comes from Healthline, I believe, healthyline.com. You can go and read it for yourself. So the bottom line is this, intermittent fasting, IF, is a term for an eating pattern that cycles between periods of fasting and eating. It is currently very popular in the health and fitness community, which you do not belong to. And you've never heard of this before, I just told you. But however, dear friend, you and I need to get involved with it. And here's what we're going to do. Starting November the 1st, we're going on a fast. I've never gone on a fast in November. But I'm serious about this, and I want you to get serious about it. We're going on a 21-day fast. Oh, man, you're cutting it close, aren't you? That's too close to Thanksgiving. No, you, when you get in the car, you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You would have lost some pounds by the time you go see your family. And when you get there, you're not going to pig out like we normally do. You're not going to even want to do that. You will eat. Yes, sirree. You will eat some turkey and some dressing. You're just not going to eat that much. And you're going to eat a little bit on that Friday, Black Friday as they call it. You're going to eat a little bit on Saturday. You're going to enjoy the leftovers. You're going to have yourself a turkey sandwich. And then on Sunday, you're going to enjoy a meal with your family before you pull out. But on Monday, we're going back to intermittent fasting to lose whatever pounds you did gain. And watch this, by the grace of God, those of us, I'm talking about those of us 40 and over, some of you little skinny people, size 4, size 5, size 6, we don't want you doing this at all. We don't want you even come close to doing this. I'm talking about if you're over 40 or 45 and you are obese or you are overweight, we're going to live a lifestyle of intermittent fasting, not dieting, an eating pattern that will keep us, will continue to cause the weight to go away and keep us from being obese. It's time out for all this eating. You know it, and I know it. Yes, you're going to enjoy Christmas. You're going to enjoy New Year's. And then, as we do every year, everybody will be going on. If you want to join us, you can. We have many people who do. Starting January the 10th, I believe, or the 11th, we go on our 40-day Daniel fast. And after we come off of that, that's a spiritual fast, and however, it should benefit you physically as well for 40 days. And then when you come off of that, we're going to continue with the intermittent fasting lifestyle. We're going to break, by the grace of God, we're going to break this stranglehold, not only stranglehold. You see, I've always told my family, I'm ready to die anytime. I just don't want any pain. You say a big old tough football player type guy, you used to play football and you just get hit, you don't want any pain? No, I don't like pain. I do not like any pain, man. No. I just rather die. I don't want to be laying up in pain and got to take morphine. Oh, no. I'd rather be taken in the rapture. But if I have to die, let's die quickly. As far as I'm concerned, there's no need for a plug. If I can't see you and you can't see me and we can't communicate, pull whatever they got. You have my permission. I got to go. Don't hold me. Try to hold me here. I don't like pain. See, that's the thing with me. That's why I'm interested in this. Because I know that if I keep on doing what I'm doing, I'm going to keep on getting what I'm getting, and so will you. And eventually, the pain is going to come. So, join me in this new lifestyle, and let's do it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together. Now, Lord, help us to be obedient to what we have heard. And help us to confess our sins of gluttony that has caused a multitude of problems for us health-wise, as sin always does. And help us to repent and help us to change and to be serious about it. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to fast for 21 days in the month of November, something I have never done and I doubt very seriously if any of my other fellow gluttons have done. And then, Lord, help us to enjoy good Thanksgiving without overeating, if you should tarry your coming, and if you would allow us to live, and then ride on to Christmas, living the intermittent fasting lifestyle. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.